There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
What I want all of us to do is not only pray for Camille and hopefully she's returned safely, but I wanted us to also pray for her family. And I want to publicly state that, Chief, that you all and the men and women you have on the ground, the resources you provided, and the additional support you have from the FBI and everybody else, that we continue to work hard under this search.
All right, that is the voice of Birmingham Mayor Randall Woodfin earlier today at a press conference about the search now for the kidnapped three-year-old Cupcake McKinney, Camille McKinney, that occurred on Saturday. Probably had your Amber Alerts going off on your phone or here at the radio station throughout yesterday and into today. And that search continues. We go to our friend Katarina Lukatich with News 5 for the latest on this search. Thanks for the time, Katarina. What's the update now? What do we know?
So they have expanded the search for Camille McKinney. So at this point, authorities have no indication as to where she may be. So now that Amber Alert has extended past Alabama and in all of our surrounding states, that Amber Alert for her is now in effect. Police did say that they have two persons of interest in custody right now at the police department for questioning, but at this point that hasn't led them to any new information as to where the three-year-old could be.
All right. So earlier this morning, we talked about it. Birmingham police had one person in custody, I believe the man. Is the other person the woman that was described in this abduction?
Yeah, they really haven't specified on who they have in custody, whether it's the man and the woman. They have said that in addition to the two people they have in custody, they do believe more people are involved. So it seems like they think that a group of people are involved in this abduction of Camille McKinney. But right now, whoever they have in custody, not providing them with any answers as to where she may be. So that's the reason for the expanded Amber Alert, because they're not sure if she's still in the Birmingham area, if she's still in Alabama, or if maybe someone has brought her over state lines.
As this search continues, it started Saturday, as we talked about this morning, with, I mean, for lack of a better word, this three-year-old child, the description here, snatched from a front yard. I mean, this is not a custody thing. This is not a person who knows the child. This was straight-up abduction, the way it's described.
Right, and that's the scariest thing about this, is most of the time when we see these Amber Alerts issued, it has to deal with a custody battle. It's one of the parents has custody of the child, but this isn't the case from what police believe. This just seems to be a random abduction. They were all gathering their family members there for some sort of birthday party. The kids were playing outside, and that's when a car pulled up and someone just took the three-year-old.
Wow. As listen, the presser today, and they're still obviously searching and in the investigation ongoing. You mentioned beyond maybe the two that were described, even more people they believe are associated with this. Did they give any more? I mean, that raises eyebrows here. Is any more details other than the fact that there's more people involved?
No, and it's because there's just so early in it, and I guess whoever they have is not being, you know, maybe as cooperative as they want. So right now we just don't know who she could be traveling with or where she may be, and so that's the reason for the expanded Amber Alert. So everyone, they're just asking that you keep sharing her photo, and if anyone has any information, if saw her, if you know anyone in the surrounding areas, just to share it and to call 911 if you have any reason to believe where she may be.
When you say expanded too, so it's obviously in neighboring states, but is it national now? Is this something that you have? Can you share those Amber Alerts over the 50 states?
I think as of right now, it's just our immediate surrounding states. I think maybe as more time goes on, because you have to think how far can you go in 1 day's time or 2 days' time, or if they had reason to believe that she was here for a certain amount of time, you know what I mean?
Right.
So for right now, it's just our surrounding states.
Once again, you could go pretty much anywhere online and you'll see a picture of this little three-year-old girl. And like you said, Katarina, our job here is to keep sharing it. We'll share the audio portion. I know y'all are sharing the picture of this little girl and updated. You ran the news conference this morning, and I'm sure any other information that comes in from Aaliyah, or actually I heard the mention there from Mayor Woodfin that the federal feds are involved in this as well.
Yeah, I think at this point the feds have gotten involved. And you know, those national centers for missing children have gotten involved as well.
Wow. All right. Well, we appreciate the update. I was hoping it was going to be some more news or some good news, but I'll be watching your feeds on social media and, of course, the updates on WKRG. And hopefully we can be talking about good news on this pretty soon.
I hope so.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
All right. News 5's Katarina Lukatich checking in. I know. I looked at I'm with you. The text line, the emails I've gotten this morning, it's just, so you have a three-year-old little girl, Camille, wearing a pink Minnie Mouse t-shirt, last seen. They were looking, I'm going to tell you the vehicle, and you probably got in the Amber Alerts, they were looking for this Toyota Sequoia, 2001 through 2006 Toyota Sequoia, that was, I think, dark blue with tan on it. That is the vehicle, but, I mean, at this point, if there's, that was a, when you heard that press conference, they started talking about the other people that could be involved beyond what we've been told, the black man and white woman, and by the way, that were described snatching this child from the front yard. Now to hear there's other people, you gotta worry and wonder, right? Another vehicle, what has been switched, what has been done here, what's behind this? It's just absolutely scary. Let's do everything we can. I mean, can't hide from everybody. So this Amber Alert is important. Sharing that picture is important. Be on the lookout. You got to see this little girl's picture so you know. And we have the links up on our social media as well. You can get it, get that. And I'll put another one up on Twitter here in just a second so you can share that and make sure everybody has a picture of this little girl. But it's a scary thing out of Birmingham. We'll watch this story and give you more information as it becomes available. All right, on the show today, lots to do here. I've got, coming up in the second hour of the show. This headline here. Survey reveals that nearly 3 in 4 adults bring their phone to bed with them. Okay, so, and I guess that means, because I think more people than that have it plugged in next to their bed, but it says 3 in 4 adults bring their phones to bed with them, and more than a third of Americans say their grown-up fun time life has suffered as a result of smartphones in the bedroom. There's a study out about it. They surveyed 2,000 Americans. We'll get to that in hour number 2. On the way this hour, we're going to be joined by Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Lots to talk about with him in state news and in national news. They're already talking again about what we could see for the lottery in session this year. You know, we don't have that far until they get cranked up for the new session of the legislature in February, late January. And will Lotto once again be brought up and then dropped? And what about some other issues like prison? Will that be a special session issue, or will it be something they debate in regular session? That question and a whole lot more for Todd Stacey. He joins us next. Remember, text line's open for you at 343-0106. 343-0106. Let's pray for this family in Birmingham and they get their child back as soon as possible, like now.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1218 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Text line open at 343-0106. 343-0106. Y'all say hello to my buddy Todd Stacy, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
It's good, man. We're having a conversation off the air. I was looking at some of your pictures on social media from over the weekend. You got to be down here in our neck of the woods. You took advantage of some of that Florida snapper season, huh?
Yeah, they opened it back up. And so my brother down in Pensacola said, y'all better come on down. So we went. It was choppy Friday, but Sunday it was looking really good. So we went out there, caught our limit, a snapper, and I'm about to cook them up tonight.
And you were asking me, and we can let people go get you on Twitter. We'll give your Twitter address in a second.
Yeah.
Favorite snapper recipes. It depends on the mood and the time. I mean, I like to bake snapper. I like to blacken snapper. I fry snapper. That's always a crowd pleaser. But you want to make sure, Todd wants to make sure that he has the best results with his snapper fillets. And they can hit us up on the text line, and I'll share that. But also, they want to go to Twitter. What's your handle on Twitter?
I'm just at Todd C. Stacy. That's my Twitter handle. So, yeah, please do. I can grill. I can skillet. I probably can't fry. Or I can bake. But yeah, anything you got, I've got about four fillets I'm going to cook up tonight. So anything, any advice you have for cooking snapper, I'm all ears.
Okay, well, we will get you those recipes. I'll get you a few here, and I know people will get on Twitter, and y'all share some good snapper recipes with our buddy Todd. And a lot to talk about today, and I don't even know where to start, national or Alabama, but I probably will stick with what I do most of the time and stick with home, and let's talk about some Alabama stories. First of all, what we talked about in the first segment of the show, you're reporting on as well at Alabama Daily News. This three-year-old abducted in Birmingham. This is one of these, they all leave a pit in the bottom of my stomach, but this is not somebody who was, at least the way we understand the story, it's not a custody issue. It's not somebody who was known to the child taking them. This was a child was snatched.
Yeah, it's every parent's worst nightmare. And, Sean, it reminds me of just what we were warned about growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it almost seemed like it could never happen, right? Somebody coming to abduct you from the playground or from somebody's house. You know, don't wander too far because there are bad people and they'll come take you. We all got those warnings growing up. And so that appears to be what happened, Saturday night at a birthday party. Police are still searching for her. What we know is that they have a man, they have a person of interest that they've interviewed, and that was the man that was driving this blue Toyota Sequoia SUV that was the vehicle in question. So we were thinking, okay, that means that if they've got this guy, then surely we'll, we found her. But
right.
that they haven't. That she's still missing. We don't. That's all we know. I'm really eager to hear more from the reporters on the crime beat. So, and maybe some of your folks down there from Mobile, I know they stay in touch, know more than I do. But as of this morning, she's still missing, and the Amber Alert is still at large.
No, it is, and it's. And I was like you when they had that person in custody, that suspect or person of interest, or Lord knows what we're calling them. I figured, okay, here, we'll find out everything else. But they had the press conference and still nothing for little Camille McKinney. So, the whole state and outside our state watching for that. Speaking of what's going on the roadways, too, you had a story, and we'll tell folks how to get the email in their inbox here with an update from Alabama Daily News. But you had a story or a series of bullet points here about drugged driving. Now, not drunk, but drugged driving in Alabama.
Yeah, Mary Sill, who's a reporter for Alabama Daily News, she's been working on this story for a couple of days. We all know about drunk driving. The state's been cracking down on it for years. The statistics are actually encouraging because it's kind of become socially unacceptable to drink and drive. That's really good. What's not so encouraging is that the statistics for drugged driving are going way up, and that's driving while impaired from marijuana. There's a lot of marijuana while driving. Opioids, some of these prescription drugs, some narcotics like cocaine and heroin, things like that. But a lot of it is legal, right? A lot of it is, you know, if somebody gets on Xanax and has a lot of Xanax in their system, they should not be behind the wheel. That stuff brings you way down. And so it's things like these that are really concerning, especially as the authorities say, what happens is folks will mix it with alcohol. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a mixture of, you know, drug driving with a little bit of alcohol. And that's a dangerous mixture. It's a dangerous situation. But the state, you know, it's not exactly easy to know if somebody is guilty of drug driving because it takes a blood test. And, you know, a cop can't just give you a blood test right there on the side of the road. So anyway, it's something the state is really working on to try to figure out how we can crack down on this, how we can actually enforce the laws against it. Do we need to improve the laws against it? Other states have done this. So yeah, it's a good look at this issue that maybe it hasn't been talked a whole lot about, you know, drugged driving instead of drunk driving.
Yeah, and we think about the technology, the breathalyzer, right, that's used for alcohol, and the officer there alongside the road can use that to establish the reason to, you know, take somebody in. But, I mean, even if the person, this is a question I have, if the person is impaired and the officer is saying they're impaired, but there's no third party, there's no scientific method to administer a test on the roadside to say that they have X number of amount of whatever the drug is in them. You know, I don't even know what the lines are on these things. We all know alcohol stuff, but on these drugs, what is an acceptable level? What's allowable? What's over that? How do you test for that?
Right. Yeah, right. And it kind of varies. Other states have set pretty strict limits. Some states have zero tolerance. You know, I don't know if zero tolerance for a legal drug is a very good idea, mm-hmm. but certainly there should be a limit, right? There's mm-hmm. a difference between having a little Xanax left over in your system versus being full-blown, you know, wigged out. And so there's certainly, you know, we need to be careful about setting these policies. And you're right about the enforcement mechanism. You know, take the blood test, right? You know, if somebody's seriously high, you know, a trooper can ask for a blood test, you know, take somebody in, ask for a blood test, but that's, you know, asking a judge for a warrant. Let's say that they're not up. Sometimes it takes a while to get a warrant on something, and it should, right? You shouldn't mm-hmm. be able to take somebody's blood without a
legal search
warrant,
procedure, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely. However, I mean, in the field, maybe there should be ways to, they're going to implement saliva tests. You know, but it's at the end of the day, it's not that much different than alcohol and a breathalyzer. If you don't consent to a breath, you don't have to take a breathalyzer, right? But if you don't consent, you got to go to the tank, you know, to cool down. So that these laws are in place for a reason. But here's a situation where maybe the law needs to be updated to keep up with the times.
Yeah, what I don't get though, I think it's going to be a bigger discussion. Because, okay, you mentioned legal or prescribed drugs that people may have in their system. And there's people that will react. Somebody who's been on a medicine for a long time, right, may not, even though the level in their bloodstream may be X. And I don't even know what the parameters are on this. But let's say it's, I don't know how you judge it. It's out of 10, it's a 5, okay? They, at a 5 out of 10 on whatever that scale is, they're not near as affected as somebody else at a 2. You see what I'm saying? And I don't have, I'm stumbling here because I don't know what the levels are. I don't understand this stuff like I do alcohol.
Well, and that's why there need to be standards and not, like you said, in many states, not Alabama actually, but in many states, if you have any trace of cocaine or any trace of heroin, that, you know, zero
tolerance.
Yeah, those
are illegal. Means, yeah, illegal.
Right.
Drug.
It's illegal narcotic. But, you know, and that's understandable. But yeah, some of these other ones, some of these prescription drugs, surely you can't have just zero tolerance. But there has to, you know, we need to use science to find out an appropriate level to say, okay, when you've got more than this, it's too much. Or, and maybe a part of it is, if you've got this amount, and you've got a little bit of alcohol, that's too much. You know, If we set a limit with alcohol, we don't have zero tolerance when it comes to alcohol. You know, it's 0.08%.
Right.
Percent. And so the same thing should be done with, because alcohol is a legal, you know, substance.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with some of these others. If you're, you know, but it'll allow officers and troopers to keep the roads safer if they actually have better and clearer enforcement mechanisms for drugged driving.
Yeah, I'm interested in that saliva test. I mean, is it just going to be like a swab like people do for the Ancestry.com, or is it going to be, how will they extract that?
From what I understand, yeah, I've never seen it done, but that's what it sounds like. And it just, it's one more step. But it's, again, it's not a blood test. You can't tell exactly. Now, you, with a saliva test, you may be able to tell if someone has taken a pill or something like that, but you don't know the level to which that is still in their system. So maybe it's a first step indicator to say, all right, well, there's at least some probable cause here. There's at least evidence that pills have been taken, but it does not tell you how much drugs or how much of a substance is still left in somebody's system. Only a blood test can do that, and sometimes it takes many hours for those blood tests to be available, and for some drugs it's already out of your system, so there's no way to tell.
It's a new world in this. Coming right back, more with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. He'll talk about how to get that email in your inbox. And also, can't wait to talk to him about the ongoing drama that are Alabama Democrats. Meeting of the State Democrat Executive Committee was, at least according to the story here, chaotic. So we'll find out about the chaos and more when we come back. Y'all stay close.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
And these discussions during the break are making me hungry for dinner tonight. Talking to Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. You got to enjoy some of that Florida red snapper season over the weekend. And he's sitting on some fillets, y'all. Let's help him out. Got a recipe that's going to knock his socks off. Hit him up on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
I'm just at Todd C. Stacey, and you know our the Daily News Twitter handle is at AL Daily News. So either one, let me know if you got a good snapper recipe.
Good stuff. And speaking of Alabama Daily News, the website is where you go sign up for the email.
That's right. Yeah, you're going to want to be on the email list. Every morning we send out the daily news that comes from me. I write it every morning. And this is just includes all the top stories from the day. We have a, you know, we go through the top five, you know, whether it's from Montgomery here in the state politics, whether it's from Washington, D.C. You know, this morning we had Bradley Byrne up there in New York. He was in Fox News studio. But it lets you know the news you need to know in digestible bites. Speaking of dinner, in digestible bites. But it's very helpful, and it's free. So, yeah, it's easy to sign up. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Right up at the top, it says subscribe. Click that, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. We would love to have you as a subscriber.
You know, you mentioned, I want to get to that State Democratic Executive Committee story in just a second, but you mentioned Congressman Byrne on Fox and Friends this morning. You know, and I'm looking through that, and they talked to his people today. They saw, okay, here's the announcement. Here's what's going on. And I get the politics of it, and Lord knows you do too, because you worked in Washington and in Montgomery. But let's just talk about, for people that are looking for this to go somewhere, and this is what politics are made of, these kind of things, but there's no way they're going to have House Democrats go ahead with some kind of investigation into the Bidens.
Oh, I mean, no, okay. Absolutely not. And Bradley knows that. I mean, it's not what it's about. Now, I mean, and the host, you know, Brian Kilmeade, asked him that very question. I mean, look, the Democrats have the majority of the House. They have control of the committees. They have control of the entire process. So, no, they're not going to take up a resolution, you know, beginning investigation of Hunter Biden. They're not going to do that. And Bradley Byrne knows that. But when you're in the minority, you've got to use these messaging mechanisms. And especially when you're running for Senate, you need to use these messaging mechanisms. And I thought it was actually pretty effective. And you know that I can be critical, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was a flack. I've worked in politics and all this. And so I can be kind of critical of different gambits by politicians if I think they're, you know, weak or whatever. I actually thought this was pretty strong. And I thought Congressman Byrne handled it really well. It's easy when you do something like this, right? Investigate Hunter Biden. It's easy to sound crazy. It's easy to sound like, you know, a tinfoil hat kind of person. But he handled it really well, and I thought some of the messaging he put forward said, look, he reminded people of the China thing. We've been talking about Hunter Biden in Ukraine for weeks now. Remember, this really started, and maybe the bigger issue is the official trip to China and what happened with his business interests there. So, you know, Byrne brought that one up first. Let's talk about China. You know, all we hear about is Ukraine. I thought that was effective. He talked about how, hey, look, I don't want a foreign government to investigate Hunter Biden. I want right. the United States Congress to. I thought that was good.
Yeah, I thought that was real good as a line.
And finally, you know, when asked, look, this isn't going to go anywhere, is it? He acknowledged. He's like, well, probably not, but they would be hypocritical if they didn't. Considering, you know, if this was Donald Trump Jr., they would be doing this. So I thought he was on his game as far as having a solid message. He didn't come across as bomb-throwing or anything like that. He came across as legitimate, which is kind of hard to do in this situation.
Yeah, I think he did a great job of it. But yeah, anybody who's waiting around to hear it picked up in the House and move forward is probably going to be waiting a while.
No, they're not going to do that. But, you know, remember this also. He went on Fox and Friends. Who watches Fox and Friends?
Yeah,
President Donald Trump. Yeah, that is, you know, and maybe had an audience of one there. But so I've been watching because I thought it was clever. I was like, man, he's going to get a tweet. I haven't seen any tweets yet, but you never know if because this, I mean, it's right up his alley, right? Investigate yep. Hunter Biden, but who knows? So it was a good idea.
For sure. Yeah, I think the president, when that was running, the president was talking about voting for whatever you do on that dancing show for Sean Spicer. He was talking about at that point. He was getting people.
One
I guess
thing at a time. Maybe he was watching on a delay or something.
Okay, Todd, I want to talk about another story that people can catch over at AlabamaDailyNews.com. And it starts off this way. It was 20 years ago Saturday that Alabamians voted against a state lottery. And you point out, you had 1999 supporters of the lottery outspent opponents 3-1. We can go back through all that battle back then that you're quite familiar with. But now we arrive 20 years later. And just looking 1 year ago, when I thought the lowest hanging fruit, the easiest putt for members of the Alabama legislature was going to be some kind of lottery, and they didn't get it done. What's the story now, and what's it looking like for session this coming year?
Yeah, you know, I can't believe it's been 20 years since that vote. I mean, I remember it very well, and it was a huge deal. That, you know, Governor Siegelman gets reelected, gets elected for the first time in 98 mm-hmm. on the promise of a lottery. I mean, he ran on it. He beat Bob James. Everybody thought, okay, this is a shoe-in. But the way, I mean, a lot of things happened. The way they formed the lottery plan, it wasn't maybe as good as it could have been. The churches got organized. A lot of folks, you know, spoke up in opposition, and it went down. And it went down kind of convincingly in 1999. So we just took a look, it's been 20 years. What has changed? There's obviously been other efforts to pass the lottery. But what's most interesting maybe about looking at the history of it is, you know, back then in 1999, there wasn't a lottery in Tennessee. There wasn't a lottery in Mississippi. There was Florida and Georgia, but that was it. And now we're surrounded. And so that's interesting from a historical perspective. And because of that, the economies of scale have kind of changed. We're not going to get nearly as much out of passing the lottery, our share-wise now. But yes, I think it's still going to be an issue to be debated. Steve Klaus, who's representative from Ozark, he said he wasn't sure whether or not he was actually going to sponsor a bill. What is clear is the Senate is not going to have any part of it until the House passes something. They've said, look, Every time we do this, it gets bogged down in the House. We're tired of it. Y'all pass it first. If the House can pass something, then sure, we'll take it up in the Senate. But we're not going to waste our time passing something, send it down to the House where it's not going to see the light of day. So that's who knows where we are. I will say this one more thing, Sean. It really failed by one vote. There was a procedural vote in the House to move forward, and that leads to other votes and things, and that one went down. But if one more person would have voted in the affirmative, it would have passed. There were a lot of people out of the chamber that day, so it's not like it failed big time. But we'll see. It's an interesting story.
Yeah. I guess we keep circling around on this because it's surprising that it was not. The opposition that I heard in the House wasn't. There were some that were opposed to it on the morality or whatever, but it got gunched up because of people wanting money to go here. This other group wanted the money to go there. It was about how to split up the winnings.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it was. A lot of it was anger over some of the casinos did not get a share. Remember, they had an original plan early in the session where, we'd have a lottery, but also all these casinos, the dog track casinos, would get sort of grandfathered into the law. So when that failed and when that never got anywhere, all the supporters of those casinos said, well, we're not going to vote for anything else. So that was really, if you want to get down to it, it was the bitterness over that. And those folks realizing, like, all right, if we don't get in this lottery plan in this vehicle, then we could be closed within a couple of years. So that was really what it was. Yeah, there's still some moral objections. There's still some policy objections to having a lottery. But I think for the most part, those are the minority. Folks in the legislature, representatives and senators, a clear majority favor getting a bill out and getting it to the people. It's just the details of what that plan is. That's the that's where the devil lies in this lottery issue. And I don't know if you'll ever get everybody to agree on all that.
It's going to be interesting. All right. Speaking of trying to get people to agree, what is the latest here with the state Democratic Executive Committee meeting that happened? You've written here that it was chaotic, to say the least. Walk us through this.
Well, remember, so that the Alabama Democratic Committee has been in a fight with the Democratic National Committee for a little over a year, and the reason is there's this group of folks within the Democratic Party who are fed up with the way it's run. They believe that they've adopted rules that are against the Democratic Party's ideals as far as, including minorities and things like that. And this group of insurgents, if you want to call them that, for lack of a better way to say it, they have the support of the DNC. The DNC is saying, look, the leadership of the state party is wrong. They've been dragging their feet. They've been, unwilling and unable to lead the party in an effective way. So okay, we're going to allow this other group to meet and adopt bylaws and basically recognize them as the leaders of the party. So they met 2 weeks ago to adopt these bylaws, and it looked like, and the DNC accepted them and congratulated them. And now here comes Nancy Worley, Joe Reed, and the rest of the real quote-unquote Democratic Party. They met this weekend to adopt their own bylaws that are different from the other bylaws. So right now, for all, and it was, oh, and it was completely chaotic. You had people from the very beginning yelling, point of order, what bylaws were we working under? Folk, they wouldn't let these protesters in. I mean, it was just a circus. And so at the end of the day, yes, they adopted these new bylaws. So right now, for all intents and purposes, the Alabama Democratic Party is operating under these two sets of bylaws. I know that's very in the weeds about rules and things like that. What it comes down to is how tough the Democratic National Committee, the DNC, is going to be on saying, okay, you're legitimate and you're not, because that's a pretty big deal. If you have to come down from a party and basically take away the car keys, or take away the keys to the building and say, no, these guys have it now. It's been a messy process, but it's still messy. It's not getting any cleaner. And look, I mean, they've got a big election coming up. Doug Jones is on the ballot. You know, and they've got to somehow try to get their act together, but it's not happening anytime soon.
Well, and that's one of the splits, right? Doug Jones's people versus Nancy Worley and Joe Reed.
Yeah, that's essentially what it comes down to. I mean, it's not that closely personified. That's not the only thing. Now, Doug Jones supported changing, you know, the guard, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had Nancy Worley and Joe Reed in charge of this party for a while. They don't do anything. I mean, just to be honest with you, I've heard so much criticism from Democratic lawmakers, state lawmakers, who don't get any help. And just, you know, having worked in politics over the years, including party politics, that's a big part of it. You need that base of support. You need that grassroots, you know, knocking on door money, stuff to just help you, because no campaign can do it on their own. Democrats haven't had any of that for really, you know, almost two terms now, and there's a reason for it. Sure, Democrats are going to have a tough time statewide in Alabama, and probably for a long time, but they ought to at least have a fighting chance.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, with this current party leadership, they really don't, because they're just stuck in their ways. They don't want to help. They'd rather just be insular. So I don't blame Doug Jones and a lot of the younger, more, you know, forward-thinking Democrats are saying, enough is enough. Let's move on. Let's at least give ourselves a chance in, you know, these swing districts. But right now, with so much disorganization, they really don't stand a chance.
Now, what will be the wrap up with this? But what when they have the convention, when the Democratic National Convention happens, I mean, I've been hearing that there could be no one from Alabama represented. But if there is, could it be like, could the national party tell the folks with the new bylaw group, could they show up and then, like, Nancy Worley and Joe Reed's people not be invited to the convention? I mean, could it be, does it work out like that?
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, the DNC has already said that the current leadership of the party, you know, Nancy Worley, Joe Reed, Randy Kennedy, and some others, they're not invited. They're not welcome. They're not going to be credentialed at the Democratic National Convention. That's a big deal. That's half the reason you do
yeah.
party stuff, right? Is
right.
to go to the convention. It's really fun and cool. So they've already said y'all aren't invited. So yeah, I think the next step of that, for one, I think the next step of this new group with the new bylaws is probably to hold some kind of new elections for new officers. And then, yeah, I expect the DNC to seat those people. And so you tell me, who's in charge, who runs the Democratic Party in Alabama? The guy who is on the floor of the Democratic National Convention, or the guy that's sitting back home in Montgomery? You know, it's pretty obvious. And so that is an important step. But again, who controls the finances? Who has the keys to the building? Who has the committees and things, the fundraising apparatus? So there's a long way to go for actually, you know, the changing of the guard is complete.
There we go. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Once more, if they want that email in their inbox, what do they need to do?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. Right at the top, there's a button that says subscribe. Just click it, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. It's free, no cost at all, but we'll be happy to have you on the list.
Good deal. Enjoy that snapper tonight. You got any questions, just give me a
holler. I will.
Give you a holler on the phone.
Sounds good. You be good, Sean.
All right, will do. Todd Stacey, and always a treat talking with him. Coming back, we'll talk to you at 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Does I see a lot with Elizabeth Warren in the news, front runner for the Democrats. Does she know that, like, she can be a participant today, but she's not an indigenous people? She does realize that, right? And I thought about this. I'm going to put something out on Twitter, maybe involve myself. And for some reason, one of those phrases, skirmishes out there on social media, I mean, if you, I think you got a tip of the hat here to Indigenous Peoples Day when you live in a place called Mobile, Alabama. Think about that. Both names, our state and our city, take their names from Indigenous people, right? So the state of Alabama, or the Alabamu, right? The it was like the thicket. I think the translation is thicket clearers, or clear. Something. I think it's thicket clearer is what the. I got to pull up. I got books on this at the house too. But I think thicket clearer, the Alabamu. So the state getting its name Alabama from those Indigenous people, that tribe. Alabama, which, by the way, they have moved the namesake of our state. That tribe ended up moving to Texas, down the Gulf to Texas. So actually, unless somebody came back here, the Alabama people now live in Texas. But that's where obviously the state got its name from, Alabama, and of course the Mobile and Mobile. So I mean, I don't know that there is there any. Yeah, Muskogee, Oklahoma. Yeah, there's a few. I'm trying to think what other cities can do the city state both being names derived from Native Americans, from Indigenous people. I call it. Is there a reason? Is it bad form to call Native American and not Indigenous? I got to figure out the specifics in there. Why it's not Native American Day? I mean, I'll say it whichever. I mean, it's going to be Indigenous Peoples Day. That's fine. I would call it Native American Day too. But yeah, when you're in Mobile, Alabama, you know, the city name and the state name both hailing from Native Americans. I think it's pretty cool. All right, and yeah, it's also Columbus Day. It's one of these stupid situations where we celebrate two days on the same day as like a protest or something like that. I have my beef with when we do that, you know, at all. I think we should celebrate them on separate days, but that's just me, hailing from Mobile, Alabama. All right, 12:58, we'll be right back.